بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله ذلكم الله ربي عليه توكل وإليه أنيب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته Out of those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden, He has commanded us to abstain from. One thing which is extremely emphasized is zulm and oppression. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith that al-zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah, that on the day of judgment, oppression will take the form of darkness on the day of judgment. What does this mean? On the day of judgment, there will be a number of different stages. A first will be the stage of resurrection. A person will be raised. Then everyone will be gathered. Then the stage of questioning will come. The stage of the weighing of the actions will come. So similarly, a stage comes on the day of judgment where a person will have to cross a bridge which is spanning over Jahannam. The bridge spans over Jahannam, and on the other side is Jannah. And every single Muslim will have to cross this bridge. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing this bridge, he says in the hadith that it is adaqqu min ash-sha'r, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a blade. Meaning it's a bridge which in practical worldly terms, it's not even possible for a human to cross. But of course, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever He wishes to give the power and the ability to cross, they will be able to cross it. So in the ahadith it comes that there will be one group of people who they will, when they will reach this bridge, then they will cross the bridge at the speed of lightning. Meaning that they will have reached that bridge and before they realize they will be on the other side. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there will be another group of people. They will cross this bridge extremely fast as well, very swiftly, not at the same speed, at the speed of a swift and fast horse. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention different groups. And he eventually comes to the stage where he says that there will be such a person or such a group of people that he is on the bridge, he is faltering one moment, he is moving forward the next. So one moment he is slipping and the other moment he is taking a step forward. And like this he will reach the other side. And then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that after that there will be a group that they will not be able to cross the bridge and somewhere or other they will falter and they will fall into Jahannam. Now when a person reaches the bridge, then at that time there will be total darkness. At that time there will be total darkness. And thereafter every single person will be given a nur, a light, according to his a'mal. According to my amal, I will be given a nur. And depending on how strong that nur is, that much easier it will be for me to cross. If I want to go from here to the door outside, and it is pitch black, it is difficult. I will hit something. I will not realize that there is an obstruction here, there is a door here, there is a step here. And if there is light, then it will be easier. How easy will it be? The more light there is, the easier it will be for me. Similarly, on the day of judgment, depending on each person's actions, he will be given a light. And the strength of the light will depend on the strength of his actions and his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single person will only be able to benefit from his own light. It will not be the case that there is a person in front of you and he has the light of his actions with him, so you will be, you know, with his through his light you can also see the direction you are going in. That will not be the case. For every person, his light will benefit only him. It's just like if you want an example. It's like in our time you get, for example, you get goggles that allow you to see at night. Night vision goggles. So if I have a pair of night vision goggles on, I can see at night, but the person next to me, he cannot see. So I have it is a type of light. It is a type of torch, but it is something which only I can benefit from. So in the same way, on the Day of Judgment, every single person's a'mal will give him that light. And all a'mal contribute to that light. And all sins contribute to darkness at that time. But there are some a'mal that specifically are beneficial. That are very strong, very great in fueling that light. And there are some deeds which are very severe in destroying that light. And one of them is oppression. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-dhulmu dhulmatun yawm al-qiyamah. Oppression will take the form of darkness on the Day of Judgment. Now we must mention a second point which is extremely important. Because when you and I mention oppression, then what comes to our mind is that there is one person who is physically strong, who has more influence, or one group of people. And on the other side, there is someone or another person who is weak. And because one group is weak and the other is strong, the group that is strong is violating the right of the group that is weak. This is most definitely oppression. But this is not the only form of oppression. Oppression means violating the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given someone. It's not necessary that I am stronger than the person. Behind someone's back, I am doing his ghibah. I am violating his right. His honor, which is sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so sacred that on the day of Hajj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Hajj, and it was the day of Eid, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the plains of Mina. So, special day, special time, special amal going on. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was delivering a sermon. And he asked the people that, do you know which day it is? Oh, of course they knew. But they said, Allah wa Rasulu alam, Allah and his Rasul know better. Do you know where we are? They said, Allah and his Rasul know better. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the honor of a Muslim is more sacred and it is more special and more valuable in the eyes of Allah ta'ala than the sanctity of this place and this time. So the honor of a Muslim is something very, very valuable in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And we don't take it seriously. We think if we've done someone's ghibah because of that, in the eyes of so and so person, his respect is low. It doesn't make it. In the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, it is something very serious. So, you have done someone's ghibah. You are not stronger than him. You're not more influential than him. But you have oppressed that person. You have oppressed that person. You have taken a loan from someone. You have taken a loan from someone. He is asking for it back. You have the means to give it back. And you don't give it back, you are oppressing that person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. That you are wealthy, meaning you have sufficient wealth to deliver that loan, to fulfill that loan. And he is asking for it back. And you are not giving it back, you are delaying without a need. Then you are oppressing that person. He might be wealthier than you, he might be a millionaire. He might be a millionaire. And he might be asking you for £1,000. But if that £1,000 belongs to him, he is asking you for it. You have the means to fulfill it and you are not fulfilling it. You are delaying. You are not even refusing. You are delaying. That is oppression in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here I should also mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed some rules. His sharia, his rules. And it may not always be the case that those rules are enforceable according to the law of the land. I have taken a loan of £5,000 from someone. There is no written record of it. And I deny that loan. The person cannot take me to any court to enforce that loan. And because that happens, I think that I've got away with it. Yeah, I haven't got away with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if that person is unable to take retribution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes retribution on behalf of that person. Similarly, sometimes the law of the land gives you the opportunity to take someone's wealth. A divorce has taken place. And the law of the land has its rules for divorce. That accordingly, these assets will be distributed like this, like that. And Sharia has its rules. Whenever any new stage comes in our life, however emotional we are, we must always make sure we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking from us. Someone has passed away in the family, very emotional time. But we must make sure we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at that time. Someone has passed away in the family, he has passed away today. And relatives are saying, delay the janazah until tomorrow. Then we have a slot to carry out the janazah today. Relatives are saying, delay the janazah until tomorrow so we can come and have one final look at him. Go and ask someone, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do at this time? And we will find that it was the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that bury the person as quick as possible. Anyway, I often say that those people phone in to say that, wait for us to come and look at his face, who haven't bothered to visit that person in their lifetime. That person who sees him every second day, every other day, it is that person who hasn't bothered to visit him, hasn't bothered to value him in his lifetime. And then he phones and says that, I will make it in one day, I will make it in 2 days. The encouragement of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, bury the person as quick as possible. And how much did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourage it? In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the janazah would take place. There was a place where the salatul janazah would take place. And after that, the body, the coffin, whatever they would carry it in, would be taken to the graveyard. And in that time, there was no van, so people would carry it on their shoulders. So our deen encourages burying swiftly so much that the command is, that the sunnah is, that when those people who are carrying that body, they should do it swiftly. Not an ordinary pace. Now, if we, let's say, you know, a janazah was to happen here, and we would take the body, walk into the qabrastan, and we go ordinary speed or we go at a swift speed, how much difference is it going to make? 10 minutes, 20 minutes? But deen has encouraged burying the person swiftly to that extent, that much you can bury the person quicker, get it done. So anyway, I was saying that in every stage that comes in our life, however emotional we are, maybe someone has done something to us, like it happens in a divorce, I gave the example, very often it feels that one party feels, sometimes both parties, sometimes one party feels, I have been oppressed. But I have been oppressed because of that, what does Sharia allow me to do and what doesn't it allow me to do? So, when divorce happens, Sharia has its own rules. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has its rules. So, the law of the land will have its own rules. Accordingly, if you claim something, you may get it. But if it is not rightful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is oppression, that is zulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely take retribution on behalf of the person. Very often it happens in this world. Very often it happens in this world. The only problem is when it happens, we don't realize it is the punishment for that. A very famous tabi, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah, a very pious person. Very great alim as well, muhaddith. His name is mentioned in the books of hadith. A stage came in his life when he had a lot of debt. He was burdened by debt. So he said to one of his close associates that, I know why this has happened to me. I know why this has happened to me. He said, what is the case? So he said that 40 years ago, I saw a person whose financial condition was not good, who was in dire straits, and I said to him, I addressed him saying, oh bankrupt person. I addressed him with these hurtful words. It came out of my mouth. I didn't say it without realizing, you know, how hurtful it might be. So he says that I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing me financially for saying those hurtful words to that person 40 years ago. So when this associate of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, he after some time, he mentioned it to another very great tabi'i, Sulaiman al-Darani, rahmatullah alayhi. So Sulaiman al-Darani, rahmatullah alayhi, said that the great Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, he realizes this because he doesn't sin very much. So when this punishment from Allah came, then he realized which sin it is. And you and I, we sin so much that when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes, we don't even realize which sin it is. So very often Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala takes revenge on behalf of the person in this world. And we don't realize and we think, where are these problems coming from? But we have violated the right of this person. We did riba of that person. All of these, they come back to haunt a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he takes retribution on behalf of the person in this world or not, he will definitely take retribution on the day of judgment. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once said to the people, warning them, that fulfill the rights due to you. That means anything that is on your head, any right of someone's, any right of someone's could mean you have done riba of someone, you need to ask for his forgiveness. Right of someone could be you have taken someone's wealth, you need to pay it off. Fulfill it before the day comes when wealth will no longer be of any use. And instead, the currency will be actions. The currency will be actions. That means that when the person takes that claim against you on the day of judgment, then you will have to pay him back, but you not in wealth, in actions, in amal. And if you don't have any amal to give that person, then his sins will be loaded onto you. So oppression, zulm, violating someone's right is a very serious matter. It's not something to be taken lightly. And even a small right of someone. A person once came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is sufficient to make us understand how important the rights of other people are. One sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his intention must have been to go fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if I go fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am martyred, then will all my sins be forgiven? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. The person, you know, happily, he received the encouragement he wanted to go out. He left and he went probably making preparations. After some time, maybe a few seconds, maybe a few minutes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that person. He said, where is that person? Where is the questioner? People found him, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for you. He came back and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, repeat your question. He repeated his question, that if I go to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will my sins be forgiven? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all your sins will be forgiven except the debt that you owe to someone. And he said, after I gave your answer, Jibreel alayhi salam came and informed me of that. That the debt that you owe to someone, that will not be forgiven. And the ulama explaining this hadith, they have said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned debt, but in reality, every single right of another person is included in this hadith. That you pass away and the right of someone else is on your head, then that is a very serious matter. It's so serious that carry on with the example of debt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the initial stages, when a sahabi, who are we to be? I'm not talking about ordinary people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. A Sahabi would pass away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask that, did he leave any debt behind? If the answer was no, alhamdulillah, he would go ahead with the Salatul Janaza. If the answer was yes, the next question would be of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be that has he left enough wealth behind to pay it off? And if the answer was yes, then arrangements would be made for it to be paid off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go ahead with Salatul Janaza. If the answer was no, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that no one is coming forward to pay off the debt on behalf of this person, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that you perform this Salatul Janaza and bury this person. I am not going to participate. Unfortunately, this is that sphere of deen that we take very lightly the rights of other people. We think that if I am performing my salah, if I am giving my zakat, if I am reading my tilawah of the Quran, then the rights of other people don't matter. They most definitely matter. They most definitely matter. In fact, from one aspect, they are more serious than the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are they? Because you don't perform salah. You don't give zakat. You misuse your eyes. I'm not saying that these are all sins to be taken lightly. But all of these sins are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the principle with the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that on the day of judgment, if he so wishes, he can forgive all of them. But when you violate someone else's right, then you have carried out a sin and you have broken the command of Allah, but you have also violated that person's right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that sin until that person has forgiven it or he has been paid up on the Day of Judgment, either with your good deeds, either with his sins coming onto your back. That is why in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three categories of sins. There are three categories of sins. One is that category which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive. That is kufr and shirk. Disbelief, a person goes out of the fold of iman. That is category when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never going to forgive that. Category two is that category which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't attach so much importance to. What is that? That is those sins that concern the rights of Allah ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if he wishes, he may forgive. And if he wishes, he may take a person to task. So that is the words for the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is that category which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ignore on the Day of Judgment. He will most definitely pay attention to. And what is that? That are those rights, those sins that concern the rights of other people. For this category, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not so bothered about it. He may forgive it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely make sure it is resolved. Because on the Day of Judgment, it will be a court. And it will be a court where, as well as every person being questioned, total justice will also be given. To the extent that if there is a Muslim and a non-Muslim is destined for Jahannam. But even then, justice will take place first and then he will be sent to Jahannam if his right was violated. So, this is also something that we should pay utmost importance to, that we don't violate a single person's right. In fact, our aim should be that we don't even unintentionally cause any Muslim any harm and any taklif. Our deen has devoted a whole branch called Adabul Mu'ashara, which is concerned with making sure that unintentionally as well, we don't cause anyone any taklif and any inconvenience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the topic to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad alayhi wa sallam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح